will leave us feeling built up and ready to build up others. We're just going to pray and then we're going to kick off. Jesus, we thank you that you're so good. And we thank you that you see us as fearfully and wonderfully made. And I want to pray that we will be people who know that that is how you see us and know that that is how you see other people. We just want to pray that that will be something that we get this evening. Amen. I'm going to begin by watching a clip. This clip shows the first time that Gandalf meets Bilbo. And Bilbo Baggins, who's the Hobbit, this guy, gets a bit of a shock.
Not that I ever was. In those days, I was always on time. I was entirely respectable. And nothing unexpected ever happened.
Good morning.
What do you mean? Do you mean to wish me a good morning, or do you mean that it is a good morning whether I want it or not? Or perhaps you mean to say that you feel good on this particular morning? Or are you simply stating that this is a morning to be good on?
All of them at once, I suppose. Can I help you?
That remains to be seen. I'm looking for someone to share in an adventure.
An adventure? Now, I don't imagine anyone west of Bree would have much interest in adventures. Nasty, disturbing, uncomfortable things. Make you late for dinner. Good morning.
To think that I should have lived to be good morning, my Belladonna Took's son, as if I were selling buttons at the door.
Beg your pardon?
You've changed, and not entirely for the better, Bilbo Baggins.
I'm sorry, do I know you?
Well, you know my name, although you don't remember I belong to it. I'm Gandalf. And Gandalf means... me.
Not Gandalf, the wandering wizard who made such excellent fireworks. Old Took used to have them on Midsummer's Eve. No idea you were still in business.
And where else should I be? Well, I'm pleased to find you remember something about me. Even if it's only my fireworks. Yes. Well, that's decided. It'll be very good for you. Most amusing for me. I shall inform the others.
Inform the who? What? No, no. No, wait. We do not want any adventures here. Thank you. Not today. Not. I suggest you try over the hill or across the water. Good morning.
The clip we've just seen shows many things. One of the things which is most relevant to us is that it shows us that Bilbo's comfortable lifestyle was challenged by a man who had something more to offer him. Gandalf had seen in Bilbo's childhood that he could potentially be an adventurer. But on finding him, I found someone whose greatest excitement came from his morning croissant. He decided that Bilbo was definitely ready for something more. I think there's a similar sense in which today's passage to the Ephesians starts. Paul writes, "You must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge themselves in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed." Paul is challenging a church who has the potential to live full lives with Jesus. He is challenging them not to accept the morning croissant as the height of excitement, not to succumb to sensuality, but to live differently. The same challenge applies to us. Too often, we can start living lives like the Gentiles and stop losing sensitivity to Jesus. We listen to what the world says is good for us rather than what Jesus says is good for us, and that is not what we are called to. We are called to a different life. In verse 20, Paul says, "That, however, is not the way of life that you have learned." He goes on to say that you were told to put off the old self, be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self made in the likeness of God. We have been made to put on the new self made in the likeness of God. Let's just consider what that means for a second. God is good. Everything good comes from God. And therefore, the fact that we are called to put on his likeness is absolutely extraordinary. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are called to put on God's likeness. How amazing is that? Paul calls the Ephesian church to live life the way God wants, and we are called to do the same. I find that absolutely astonishing. However, I'm aware that some of you may not feel able to put on the likeness of God at the moment. You may feel you're too far from God, or you may just feel a bit inadequate. Our next clip shows Bilbo clearly feeling very inadequate and not up to the idea of an adventure, but Gandalf has other ideas.
"When did doilies and your mother's dishes become so important to you? I remember a young hobbit who was always running off in search of elves in the woods.
And stay out late. Come home after dark, trailing mud and twigs and fireflies.
A young hobbit who would have liked nothing better than to find out what was beyond the borders of the Shire.
The world is not in your books and maps. It's out there.
I can't just go running off into the blue. I am a Baggins of Bagend.
You are also a Took.
Did you know that your great-great-great-great uncle, Bullora Took, was so large he could ride a real horse?
Yes, well, he could. In the Battle of Green Fields, he charged the goblin ranks. He swung his club so hard, it knocked the goblin king's head clean off, and it sailed 100 yards through the air and went down a rabbit hole.
And thus the battle was won. And the game of golf invented at the same time.
I do believe you made that up.
Well, all good stories deserve embellishment.
You'll have a tale or two to tell of your own when you come back.
Can you promise that I will come back?
No. And if you do, you will not be the same.
That's what I thought. Sorry, Gandalf, I can't sign this. You've got the wrong hobbit.
In that clip, Gandalf starts to speak truths about Bilbo's identity into Bilbo's life. He saw who Bilbo could be and spoke that over him. He reminded him of his upbringing and who he really is. Bilbo's a Took, a hobbit who can take on adventure and ride a horse. He's not called to a life of eating croissants. I believe that, like Gandalf, God wants to encourage you and speak over you, the person that you really are. When Paul, in our passage, says, be made new in the attitudes of your mind, part of what he's saying, I think, is that we have to have the right attitude about ourselves. We need to know who Jesus says we are. I'm just going to think a minute about who Jesus says you are. Jesus says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderfully made. Not by IKEA standards. Wonderfully made. He looks at you and goes, yes, you are wonderfully made. Do you know that? The last verse of our passage says that Jesus says we are dearly loved children. We are dearly loved. Your maker loves you so much. In fact, he loved you so much that he died for you. Do you know that? Jesus says that he delights in you. There's a verse in 1 Samuel which says he rescues me because he delights in me. Do you know that Jesus really delights in you? He delights over you. He doesn't say, I made an error when I made you. He delights in you. Do you know that? Jesus sees the gold in you and wants you to live a life where all your potential is realized. He's your father. Of course he wants that. We need to live with that attitude in our head, not the lies the world tells us. Only then can we really put on God's full likeness. Only then can we take on the adventure. We see that when Bilbo finds out who he really is, he falls for it and he goes on the adventure. And this is our last clip. Now.
Hello?
When Gandalf spoke encouragement over Bilbo, he jumped right into the adventure. This seems to be a pattern which one can trace throughout the Bible, actually. God told Gideon he was a mighty warrior, and then he won great battles. God told David, as a young boy, that he would be a king, and he was the greatest ever king of Israel. God told Peter that he was the rock, and he was the founder of the church. When we are made new in the attitudes of our mind, when we really know how Jesus sees us, the encouragement of God brings us into the fullness of who we were called to be. But another question to ask is, what does the fullness of who we are called to be really look like? I think lots of areas where we can be transformed by Jesus. The one I just really want to focus on today is encouragement. I believe that when we respond to God's encouragement, we must do what our passage says and step into his likeness by speaking encouragement over the lives of one another. The passage we're looking at today talks about encouraging people. Paul says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." The question we've got to ask is, how can we live lives where we build people up? And in my mind, the heart of it is that we need to be people who see others as Jesus sees them. Ephesians 5 says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Jesus gave himself for you. He sacrificed himself for you. Why? Because he saw that by his sacrifice, we could be redeemed and called in to the full, abundant, purposeful life that he wants us to live. On the cross, Jesus is saying, "I see who you really are, and I want you to become that person." His love for us is such that he wants every single one of us to become the person we were made to be. We are called to walk in the way of that love. Like Jesus, we're called to see people as they were made to be and not as they are. We're called to love them as God's creation, and that means making every effort to ensure that they become the people they were made to be. Encouragement is about seeing who people can be and loving them enough to affirm that in them. Our words have the power to either bring life or inhibit it. For the last 8 years, I've been at a school where encouragement isn't a high value. In fact, I'd almost say mockery is a virtue. And the truth is that the mocking atmosphere, critical atmosphere, has meant that I've been more inhibited and haven't tried things that I potentially could have been good at. You look at different areas. I never did any drama. I never did any public speaking at school. My sport was inhibited by the fact that I was always scared someone was going to laugh at me if I made a mistake, and I didn't do that much music. All things I potentially could have done, but the critical spirit that so undercut the school meant I didn't. Truth is, criticism crushes creativity, and that is why it is so deadly. We are called to live lives of encouragement, because encouragement has the power to bring life, freedom, and joy. As the church, we are called to establish a culture of encouragement. We are called to speak words of life into people's lives. Every person is made in God's image and has something special about them. Too often, however, we don't tell them that. One of the saddest things I think about British culture is the fact that so often people get to funerals and they say all these lovely things about their relatives that they never said to them in real life. I want to be a person who doesn't have to wait for an obituary to speak the truth about someone who someone is into their life. We are called to tell people they are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're not called to be restrained, sarcastic, and British. We're called to lavish the love of God onto people. I pray that we as a church can step into this. I pray that we're a community where people leave and feel built up. I pray that we as a community will become known for seeing the gold in every single person we meet. That's a challenge for you. Can you find the gold in the bloke at work who consistently makes snide remarks? Can you be the person who speaks encouragement into the life of the bully kid at school who doesn't really have any friends? Can you be the one who honours the oddly person who just keeps on repeating themselves? Because if you can, that is when I believe we'll see a culture shift in this church. If we can become a church who speaks encouragement into everyone, who honours everyone, not only the people who are obviously talented, but everyone, then that is when I believe we'll be walking of the way of love, just as Christ did. It's a real challenge, but I believe we can do it.
Really stuck out for me in the clips that you showed us when Bilbo says, "You've got the wrong hobbit." And I think we say that all the time. No, God. You've got the wrong girl. You've got the wrong guy. I'm not the person. I'm not fearfully and wonderfully made. I couldn't speak truth in love into someone else's life. You can't ask that of me. I can't do that. We say, "You've got the wrong hobbit." And I think God is challenging us through his word this evening that that's not true. That's not true. And I think just to begin with this evening, there are two groups of people that we would love to encourage to come and be prayed for, that we believe God is speaking to tonight. And the first is to people who, as Johnny talked about, putting on the new self, realizing that we are not the people that the world says we are, that our identity is in Jesus. And if you heard that and just went, that's not me, we would love to pray for you, and we believe that the Lord wants to minister to you tonight and speak into your life. And the second is to the group of people that perhaps Johnny was speaking about at the end, that God is calling you to be an encourager. He's calling all of us to be people of encouragement, but I think for some of you, that really settled on you tonight. And you went, yeah, I really want to do that, but I find that really hard. And the great thing about our wonderful God is that he knows that we can't do stuff in our own strength, but he says, "I'm going to teach you how to do that. I'm going to put my spirit in you. I'm going to help you to be someone who can speak life and freedom and joy," as Johnny said, over other people, that we would see our community transformed. So we really want to pray, just to begin with tonight, for those two groups of people, for those who just are really struggling with that issue of identity, of who you are in Christ, and to those who actually want to be people of encouragement, who want to be people who speak life and freedom over others. So I'm going to ask the band to come up, and if you could all stand. And as the band start to lead us in our final song of worship, if you sort of feel like you're one of those two groups of people, we're going to pray for other people tonight. We're not quite done yet, but we just want to start by praying for those two groups of people. If you want to come forward, and we would love to pray for you. So.
And some of you feeling that calling for encouragement, I just think God's going to lay some encouragements on some people's hearts to go and give to somebody else. So if you just keep an ear to the Lord, he might just be telling you to go and encourage someone else.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted. You were condemned, and I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted. You were condemned, and I'm alive and well. The Spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, my joy to honor you. Amazing love, amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. My joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
We just had a few other sort of words that we felt before the service this evening that the Lord was speaking for people here tonight, and we just want to share those with you, and if you feel that they're for you, then we would love to pray for you. We just love to pray for people in this church. We really believe that Jesus is here and wants to minister to you. And there was a picture of a child coming out of a muddy puddle, like a little toddler coming out of a very muddy puddle, and they were absolutely covered in mud, and they were really quite concerned about the response they were going to get from their parents, of the state that they got themselves in. And as they approached their dad, they just saw that he had this huge grin on his face, and it's not what they expected. They thought they were going to get in trouble, and actually their father opens his arms and just says, I love you. And just a real sense tonight that there might be people here who just feel like you're in a mess. You've got yourself in a mess, and you are going to get told off if you bring that to God. But actually he says, just come home, let me love you, let me minister to you. So we would love to pray for you if that resounds with you. Just a real sense that you might be hearing kind of just voices of condemnation, and that may go with the word that's just gone before, but actually just that the Lord says, mine is never the voice of condemnation, ever. It's never me. Jesus always speaks life and truth. Condemnation is not from him. So if you're feeling condemned, we believe that he wants to set you free from that. Just the words from scripture, nothing can separate you from the love of God. And we particularly felt tonight for people that was connected to words that may have been spoken over you throughout your life, things that people have said to you. Those words cannot separate you from the love of God. and the power that you feel they have can be broken. And we just had a really specific word, and sometimes God gives us pictures and words that we don't understand, and they might sound a bit strange, but they may really resonate with someone here. So we give them out in faith, and we had someone had a picture of a single stalk of corn, and immediately followed by that, a picture of a boat with a sail on the middle of a lake. And that may resonate with someone here. We just love to pray for people. So even if none of those things resonate with you, but you would like to be blessed and you just want to receive from the Lord, we would love to pray for you. And we're going to be here and the band is going to keep playing. We're going to keep worshipping. But the formal part of our service is over. So I'm just going to pray a prayer of blessing over you. And if you would like to leave, there is tea and coffee and cake. So please do hang around. But we would